I'm Chaim Goldman, the Watchman. You're listening to The Peak Elevated. We have as our guest today Brad Miller, who is a local lawyer whose firm represents about 80 schools and school districts in the Colorado region and also advises outside of that. We just had him on the broadcast, and this is our extended segment with him here on the website. And we're going to get in, you know, this is stuff that this is even deeper than we got in on the radio, on the broadcast. And because we were commenting about problems in education, challenges in education on that, and I hope that you did listen to the podcast. But now we're going to talk about the gender expression issue and how we can approach that effectively, obviously for the sake of our children, for the sake of sanity, really, in doing this. So, Brad Miller, welcome to The Peak Elevated.
Yeah, thank you. I really care a lot about this topic, so I appreciate the opportunity to expand on it.
So let's get into the issues as you see it. If you were going to sort of break this down on it, because so much of these arguments are, they're conflated. There's 10 different things going on at the same time so that nothing really needs to make sense, right? They argue one way. When you try to defend that, they argue another way. And it's hard for logical people to follow this, because when you start off with there's more than two genders, like, where do you go from that? That's an unhinged opinion to begin with. So it's like we're chasing vapors. So you, especially, you're a lawyer, so it's important you break things down into their component parts all the time. What are the component parts here so we can deal with the issues separately?
Well, we're talking about public schools, and so we're not talking about a workforce and, you know, and frankly, a community that's being served that is united in worldview. And so there's this this phenomenon that comes up in public education, you know, the critical race theory episodes that came through a few years ago and things of that nature, cultural sorts of incursions, Black Lives Matter, blah, 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 all these things, social emotional learning. And they're progressive impulses, and they come into education and they sweep through because, frankly, it's as much as we know what our founding's all about and who we are as a country,
a culture.
It's not the same anymore in terms of the powers that be. And so, you know, we just have all sorts of folks involved particularly in public spheres. And so sometimes we've been content to just sort of disagree and maybe push back mildly and so forth. But this new phenomenon that is, if you think about it, 8 years ago or whenever it was that Obama was president, this wasn't even on the map for any of us. We didn't recognize that there was such a thing sort of as this transgender phenomenon because it's not real. And yet fast forward in this quick paced time, all of a sudden it's right in our face everywhere we go. And most perniciously, it's right in front of our kids every single day in the media and everywhere they go. And dang it, our legislature conveniently passed a bill a couple of years ago to declare that it's a protected civil right in Colorado to express your gender or identify of a gender of your own choice. And they didn't give any downside limits. There's no age limit to it. So ostensibly, a five-year-old can express their gender, and that's their civil right to do. Well, that's ridiculous. It contravenes Supreme Court law, thankfully. So our U.S. Supreme Court, in cases like Granville versus Troxell, said, you know what, you parent are in control of the education of your child. And so in that context, if you get a special education IEP, individualized education brand, guess who has to be involved? Both parents. If you want to have your picture on the yearbook, both parents. If you want to change schools, both parents. Any decision that is made for you is made by your parents, except ostensibly this thing about your gender. So that's crazy. So we're finding that every single sort of place that we work, every school, every charter school, every school district has to individually try to figure out a way to respond to this recent incursion, which I think it reflects to me the absolute demise of our culture. If we think about historically, the cultures that have fallen into the sexualized focus are the ones that fall, right? Rome and anybody like that, that's the precursor to the end of that civilization. And at this point in time in history, I think it might even be more than that. So we've got to prayerfully and ethically oppose this. And so what do we do is the question. In my view, minimally, we have to do what we did at Monument Academy, and I discussed that on the program.
I'll tell people that in case they...
Yeah, so Monument Academy is a charter school here on the north end of town. It's K through 12 school. It's remarkably good. It's a classical academy style approach of education, very parent involved. And a year and a half ago, when after the passing of House Bill 22-1032 or 23-1032, House Bill 1032. We adopted a resolution saying, you know what, we stand for the right of parents to make decisions for their kids, this bill notwithstanding. So we're going to do what we can to protect the rights of parents. And then we deliberated on it further, and we said, you know what, we're going to actually adopt a policy, and we're going to direct that we don't, so there's no missing links here. Every teacher will know that this is the way we're going to do this, and so we're consistent in approach. And what we decided to do was to say, if the child says, I want to be identified differently than what I was born, then we're going to bring both parents in, we're going to set them down, we're going to talk through the gravity of that decision, and we're going to force them to make a written sort of, you know, it's actually this, the recent bill, the non-legal name change, is a response to our policy, which says we're going to require a legal name change before we're going to do this. And then we cited Troxell versus Granville, the Supreme Court law that says parents are in charge. 10 minutes later, we have a demand letter from the ACLU saying they're going to sue us if we implement this policy. Well, we've implemented the policy, and they haven't yet sued us. But we do know that in Colorado, we just heard today a wonderful expression of faith from Rebecca, who just was charged in the January 6th thing.
And people don't know, listen to the podcast headline segment if you don't know what we're talking about.
Her faith, wow, so inspiring. But... We've been fortunate not yet to be sued, but just like her experience in Colorado, once we get sued, we know that the courts aren't going to be on our side, and we're going to have to push it through to something further down the line. It's going to need to be, you know, the U.S. Supreme Court to weigh in on this type of topic, and it pops up in multiple states, and so multiple of the appeals courts will ultimately raise this topic up in an appropriate way to the Supreme Court. But until then... the law of Colorado tells us that parents don't have a right, and we're having to firmly take a step in opposition in order to even protect a parent's right, and we're liable for maybe getting sued just for doing that.
So what's the proper approach? How do we go about this? You're a lawyer. You know, it seems like we got to fight these things out in the courts, but then, you know, that's an uphill battle because of the courts and what they're favoring. So what do we do?
Well, if this current bill, so the new bill is this one that's even more explicit about giving a specific right to a child to adopt a name or a gender of their choice. It sort of furthers the past law in a more explicit way, and it calls it a violation of civil rights if a teacher misgenders a kid, you know, that whole thing. So in other words, if I'm a teacher at XYZ Classical Academy or in district whatever, and I refuse to accede to a child's crazy request to be a girl now, I could be civilly liable for that. So every parent needs to get every school and every district to take a stand to protect those teachers and give a protocol that gives them clarity about what their rights are. And frankly, if they're going to be confronted with that kind of kid, we got to give them an option to not have to work with that kid. So let's put them in another classroom or give them another opportunity, or we're going to have to go down the road of creating religious exemptions and defending those religious exemptions and making sure that our teachers are safe and our staff members are safe and the kids that live around these kids don't have to put up with this nonsense of gender expression.
So what about we have about a minute or so left, alternative homeschooling, pulling them out, you know, what do we do if the public school system is insistent that they own the children?
You know, that we've seen a quick and rapid decline in public school enrollment and charter school enrollment, and it's because of these mandates. And I see a future where that's going to continue. Schools and school districts are bemoaning that somehow parents are, you know, adverse because of the transparency that they saw in COVID. No, that's nonsense. It's because they are forced to do this crazy stuff about the kids' identity, giving them abortion rights and giving them these gender rights. We're going to continue to see that. And so I've been really hard at work. My team's been really involved in finding new alternatives for homeschoolers, and we're creating programs at a very rapid rate because that's going to continue to happen.
Okay. Thank you, Brad Miller.
Yeah.
For being on The Peak Elevated, and MillerFarmerCarlson.com. MillerFarmerCarlson.com is the website if you'd like to get in touch with Ken. I'm Chaim Goldman, executive producer of The Peak. You've been listening to Peak Elevated. Thank you.